Hey everyone, ready to untangle the mystery of education funding?
It can definitely feel like a mystery sometimes, right?
Totally. So many options and terms, it's easy to get lost. Today we're doing a deep dive into this blog post we found called Avoiding Pitfalls in Education Funding. It's got some great tips for students.
Yeah, it's like a guide to help students navigate the whole financial aid process.
Exactly. So let's just start with the basics. What are the main types of aid out there? We always hear about scholarships, grants, loans. Oh, and work study too. It's kind of overwhelming.
Right. There are a lot of options, and it's important to understand what makes each one different.
Right.
So you've got scholarships. Those are often merit-based. Like you earn them by doing well in school or something, and you don't have to pay them back.
Oh, that's good.
Then you've got grants. Those are usually based on financial need. And like scholarships, you don't have to repay those either.
Awesome.
Then there are loans. They can be really helpful, but you do have to pay them back and with interest. So that's something to really think about carefully.
Yeah, loans can be a bit tricky.
Right. And then finally, you have work study programs. And with those, you get to make some money while you're in school and get some work experience too.
Okay, that makes sense. But why is it so important to really get all these different types of aid?
Well, because it lets you figure out which ones you should really focus on. Like, say you have amazing grades, you might want to go for those merit-based scholarships, right?
Makes sense.
But if you really need help financially, then you should look into those need-based grants.
So it's all about figuring out what works best for you, your own situation.
Exactly.
Now, the blog post we're looking at, it talks a lot about avoiding procrastination. Mm-hmm. Why is that such a big deal when it comes to financial aid?
Well, because deadlines are everything. If you miss a deadline, you could miss out on a ton of money for school. And that's just not worth it.
Ouch, yeah. I guess some things you just can't procrastinate.
Right. No matter how good you are at working under pressure, you don't want to risk it with financial aid. It's way better to just be organized from the beginning.
So basically make a timeline and stick to it.
Exactly.
What about students who think they won't qualify for any aid and don't even bother applying?
Oh, I hear that a lot. And it's just not true. There are so many scholarships out there for almost anything you can think of. Good grades, sports, hobbies, even just being left-handed. I'm serious.
Wow. I had no idea.
And even if you don't think you're the best candidate, you should still apply. You never know. And plus, the more scholarships you apply for, the better your chances of getting something.
That's good advice. But okay, real talk. Finding all those scholarships, it's got to be a nightmare, right? Like, where do you even start?
Yeah, it can definitely feel overwhelming, but that's where those online databases come in. Have you heard of websites like FastWeb and CapEx?
I think so, but I'm not really sure how they work.
They're pretty cool. They're like those dating sites, but for scholarships. They basically match you with scholarships that you might actually qualify for. You just put in your information and they do all the searching.
Wow, that sounds super helpful.
Yeah, it can save you a lot of time and energy. But if you're not really into the whole online thing, there are other ways to find scholarships too.
Oh, okay, good. Like what?
You can check out local organizations, community groups, even businesses in your area.
Yeah.
They often have scholarships that aren't as well known, so there's less competition.
So don't just rely on the internet. Get out there and ask around.
Exactly. It's all about casting a wide net. Now, let's talk about the FAFSAs.
Oh, yeah, the FAFSAs. That's the big one.
It is. It's basically how you get access to any federal aid, like grants, loans, and work study. And the blog we're talking about, it really stresses how important it is to fill out the FAFSAs accurately.
I can imagine. So why is accuracy so important?
Well, any mistakes or inconsistencies on your FAFSA can cause delays in processing, and that could mean you miss out on aid that you're actually qualified for. So just double check everything before you submit it.
Okay, no pressure then.
Yeah, it can seem a bit daunting, but don't worry. There's tons of help available. Most high schools and colleges have workshops or even one-on-one help to guide you through the whole AFSA thing.
That's good to know. So we've talked about the different types of financial aid and some common mistakes to avoid. But how do we actually find scholarships that are a good fit for us?
Well, you got to think of it like a puzzle. You got all these unique pieces, your skills, your experiences, your goals, and your job is to find those scholarships that match your pieces perfectly.
Okay, that's a cool way to think about it. So where do we start looking for those perfect fit scholarships?
Well, one thing you can do is tailor your applications to each scholarship you're applying for.
Tailor them? What do you mean?
Like, let's say you're applying for a scholarship that's all about environmental stuff, and you happen to volunteer at a local park cleanup.
Okay, I see where you're going with this.
You want to highlight that experience in your application. It shows them that you're actually passionate about the environment, not just trying to get free money.
So it's not just about listing your achievements, but showing how they connect to the scholarship's goals.
Exactly. You want to make a good impression and show them why you're the perfect candidate.
That makes sense. But with all this searching and applying, it's easy to get disorganized. How do we stay on top of everything?
Organization is key. Think of it like planning a road trip. You wouldn't just hit the road without a map, right?
Definitely not. I'm all about having a plan.
Well, same goes for financial aid. Use a planner, a calendar, whatever works for you. Just make sure you're keeping track of all those important deadlines.
Good point. I'm a visual person, so I love using a planner. What about creating a dedicated folder for all the documents?
Oh, that's a great idea. Whether it's a physical folder or one on your computer, it's super helpful to have everything in one place. You don't want to be scrambling around trying to find that acceptance letter when you need it.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground already. Figuring out the different types of aid, avoiding those common pitfalls, finding scholarships that are a good fit, and staying organized. Now let's talk about loans.
Yes, the dreaded loans.
They're a reality for a lot of students, so let's break down how to navigate those options effectively.
Okay, so first things first, you need to understand the difference between federal loans and private loans.
I've heard those terms before, but I'm not really sure what the difference is.
Federal loans are usually the better option. They tend to have lower interest rates and more flexible repayment options compared to private loans. Think of them like the safer bet.
Okay, so federal loans are like the good guys.
Pretty much. And within federal loans, there are different types to consider, like direct subsidized loans and direct unsubsidized loans.
Okay, more terms. What are those?
Subsidized loans are based on financial need, and the government actually pays the interest on them while you're in school. Unsubsidized loans, anyone can get them, but the interest starts adding up right away, even while you're still in school.
I see. So subsidized loans are a bit friendlier.
Exactly. And then there are parent PLUS loans, which are for parents who want to help their kids pay for school.
So many loan options. But taking out a loan is just the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Then you got to figure out how to pay it all back.
You got it. And that's where understanding your repayment options becomes super important. You don't want to end up in a situation where your loans are a huge burden after you graduate.
No kidding. That's what scares me the most about loans.
I get it. But luckily, there are things you can do to make repayment more manageable. Have you heard of income-driven repayment plans?
Vaguely, but I'm not really sure how they work.
Basically, your monthly loan payments adjust based on how much money you're making. So if you're not earning a lot, your payments will be lower. It's a way to make sure your loan payments don't eat up your entire paycheck.
Oh, that sounds amazing, especially for someone just starting out their career.
Exactly. It's all about making your payments affordable and preventing them from becoming a huge financial stress. There are a few different types of income-driven plans, but they all aim to give you some breathing room while still allowing you to pay off your loans.
Okay, so it's definitely worth looking into those income-driven plans. Now, what about loan forgiveness? Is that something we should be banking on?
Loan forgiveness is a great thing. But it's not for everyone. It's usually for people in certain professions, like teachers or social workers. And you have to work in that field for a certain number of years to qualify.
So it's like a reward for serving your community.
Exactly. It's not just a free pass for everyone who takes out loans, but it's definitely something to consider if you're planning on going into one of those fields.
Okay, so loans can be tricky, but there are definitely ways to make them more manageable. Now let's talk about another resource that can be super helpful, the support system you have on your campus.
Absolutely. Most colleges and universities have a whole team of people dedicated to helping students with financial aid, and you should definitely take advantage of their expertise.
So where should we start? Who do we reach out to for help?
Your first stop should be the financial aid office. They can help you understand all the different forms, explain your options, and even point you towards scholarships you might not have known about. Think of them like your financial aid guides.
So basically, schedule an appointment with a financial aid advisor ASTP.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to ask lots of questions. They're there to help you.
What about other resources on campus?
A lot of schools also offer financial literacy workshops. These are like mini courses that teach you about budgeting, managing your money, and understanding loans. Basically, all the adulting stuff they don't teach you in high school.
Wow, those workshops sound super helpful. I wish I had known about those when I was in college.
Yeah, they can be a lifesaver, so definitely check to see if your school offers them.
So we've covered a lot of ground in this first part of our deep dive. We talked about the different types of financial aid, how to avoid common pitfalls, finding scholarships, staying organized, and even navigating the world of loans. I feel like my brain is full.
I know, right? It's a lot to take in. But hopefully you're feeling a bit more confident about tackling this whole financial aid thing.
Definitely. It's not as scary as I thought it would be.
Exactly. And remember, there are people and resources out there to help you every step of the way. So don't be afraid to ask for help when you need it.
Great advice. Now, what can our listeners look forward to in part two of our deep dive?
In part two, we're going to dive even deeper into specific financial aid options and explore some more advanced strategies for maximizing your funding potential. So stay tuned.
I'm excited to hear more. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
We were just talking about all the amazing resources available on campus to help with financial aid.
It's like having a whole team of experts in your corner.
Right. And speaking of support systems, don't forget about the people in your life who can help too. Friends, family, mentors.
Oh, absolutely. Having that personal support network can make such a huge difference.
Seriously. It's so helpful to have people to celebrate with when things are going well and to vent to when you're feeling stressed.
I totally agree. Surrounding yourself with people who believe in you and your goals can really keep you motivated.
For sure. So don't be afraid to reach out to your personal cheer squad. Let them know what you're going through and ask for their support. Mm. Sometimes just talking things out can help you feel so much better.
I couldn't agree more.
Okay, let's get back to scholarships for a minute. We talked about those online databases and checking with local organizations. Are there any other places we might be overlooking?
Good question. Sometimes those less obvious places can be gold mines.
Okay, I like where this is going.
Have you thought about asking people in your own network?
My network? Like who?
Well, your family, friends, teachers, even past employers. They might know about scholarships offered by their companies or organizations, or maybe even scholarships specific to your hometown or high school.
Wow, I never thought about that. It's like tapping into a whole secret network of scholarship opportunities.
Exactly. You never know what you might find.
Okay, so let's say we've done our research and found some scholarships that seem like a good fit. How do we make our application stand out from all the others?
That's the million-dollar question, right? You want to make sure your application is memorable.
Totally. So how do we do that?
Think of your scholarship application like a story. You're the main character, and you want to tell the committee your unique story in a way that captures their attention.
Okay, I can see that. But how do we make our story stand out?
Use vivid language, tell engaging anecdotes, give specific examples, and most importantly, tailor your application to each scholarship you're applying for.
Right, like we were talking about earlier. Show them why you're the perfect fit for that specific scholarship.
Exactly. And don't forget about those recommendation letters.
Recommendation letters. They could be so stressful.
I know, but they're really important. Choose recommenders who know you well and can speak to your strengths and potential. And when you ask them, give them plenty of time to write a thoughtful letter.
So quality over quantity.
For sure. It's better to have a few really strong letters from people who can truly vouch for you than a bunch of generic ones.
Got it. Now let's go back to loans for a bit. We talked about those income-driven repayment plans. Can you explain those in more detail?
Sure. So with these plans, your monthly payments are based on a percentage of your income. It's like a sliding scale. So if you're earning less, your payments will be lower.
Oh, okay. So it's designed to make sure those loan payments don't totally drain your bank account.
Exactly. And it gives you some peace of mind knowing that your payments will be manageable no matter what your financial situation is like after graduation.
That's really reassuring, especially when you're just starting out and maybe don't have that dream job yet.
Right. And there are a few different types of income-driven plans, so it's important to do your research and figure out which one best suits your needs.
Okay, so it's not one size fits all.
Nope. It's about finding the plan that gives you the most flexibility and helps you avoid those financial headaches. Now, what about loan forgiveness?
Loan forgiveness. Yeah, that sounds amazing, but too good to be true.
Well, it is a real thing. But it's important to know that it's not just a magical way to erase all your student loan debt.
Right. I figured there had to be a catch.
Usually, loan forgiveness programs are designed for people who work in certain public service professions, like teaching, nursing, or social work, for example.
So it's kind of like a bonus for working in those fields.
Exactly. And you usually have to make your loan payments for a certain number of years before you qualify for forgiveness.
So it's not just a free pass.
Nope, it's more like a reward for dedicating your career to serving others. And it's important to remember that each program has its own specific rules and requirements.
Okay, so definitely do your research before getting your hopes up too high.
Absolutely.
Now, I want to talk about something that I think is super important, but often gets overlooked during this whole process. Self-care.
Oh, self-care is so important. It's easy to get so caught up in all the applications and deadlines that you forget to take care of yourself.
I know, I've been there. So what are some tips for incorporating self-care into this whole crazy process?
Well, first of all, celebrate your wins, no matter how big or small. Did you submit a scholarship application? Celebrate. Did you have a successful financial aid meeting? Celebrate.
I love that. Sometimes we get so focused on what we haven't accomplished yet that we forget to acknowledge how far we've come.
Right. So take some time to appreciate your progress and give yourself some credit. It'll help you stay motivated and positive.
What else can we do to prioritize self-care?
Make time for activities that help you relax and recharge. Go for a walk. Listen to music. Spend time with friends and family. Do whatever makes you feel good.
It's so easy to feel overwhelmed during this process.
Yeah.
So taking those breaks and doing things you enjoy can make a big difference.
I totally agree.
What other advice would you give to students who are feeling stressed or discouraged?
Remember that you're not alone in this. Talk to your friends, family, mentors, whoever you feel comfortable talking to. Share your struggles and let them support you.
Having that support network can be a real lifesaver.
Absolutely. And don't forget to maintain a positive mindset. It's okay to feel overwhelmed sometimes, but try to focus on the bigger picture. Remember why you're pursuing this education in the first place and keep those goals in mind.
So even when things get tough, don't lose sight of your dreams.
Exactly. You've got this.
All right, we're back for the final part of our deep dive into education funding. You mentioned some hidden gems and advanced strategies. I'm ready to hear them.
Okay, so we've talked about a lot of the basics, but there are still some tricks of the trade, so to speak, that can really help you maximize your financial aid.
Ooh, insider tips. I like it.
Well, one thing that often gets overlooked is the possibility of appealing financial aid decisions.
Appealing? You mean like if you don't get enough aid, you can ask for more?
Exactly. If your financial situation has changed since you first applied, or if you just feel like the initial offer doesn't really meet your needs, you can reach out to the financial aid office and explain your situation.
I never knew that was an option.
Yeah, a lot of people don't. But it's definitely worth a shot. Like, let's say your family has experienced a job loss, or maybe there's been a medical emergency. Those are things that can really impact your ability to pay for college, right?
Definitely.
So you can reach out to the financial aid office, explain what's happened, and see if they can adjust your aid package.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Would you need to provide any documentation for an appeal?
Yeah, it's always a good idea to have some kind of proof to back up your claim, like a layoff notice, medical bills, anything that supports your story.
Okay, so be prepared and organized.
Exactly. The key is to be clear and concise and just present your case in a professional way.
Got it. What other advanced strategies should students know about?
Well, another one is to really explore work-study opportunities.
Work-study? I think I've heard of that, but remind me how it works.
It's a program where you can work a part-time job on campus and earn money to help pay for school. And often, those jobs are related to your field of study, so it's a great way to gain experience, too.
So it's like getting paid to learn.
Exactly. It's a win-win situation. Plus, it can help you reduce your reliance on loans.
That's awesome. What kind of work-study jobs are out there?
Oh, there's such a wide range. It really depends on your interests and what your school offers. Like, if you're a history major, you might work in the college archives or the library. If you're into environmental science, you can maybe work at the campus sustainability office or help with research projects.
So many possibilities. I like how those examples tie the work directly to the student's major.
Yeah.
Okay, so appealing financial aid decisions and looking into work-study, those are great tips. Anything else?
Okay, here's another one that might surprise you. Negotiation.
Negotiation. You mean like haggling over scholarships and financial aid?
Well, not haggling exactly, but you'd be surprised how often colleges and universities are willing to work with students to make things more affordable.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize they have some leverage in this process, especially if you have multiple scholarship offers.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So how would you go about negotiating?
You can start by expressing your gratitude for the offer, but then politely explain that you've received other offers with better terms and see if they're willing to match or maybe improve their offer to be more competitive.
So it's all about being polite and professional, but also knowing your worth.
Exactly. Don't be afraid to advocate for yourself. Now, I want to touch on something that I think is super important throughout this whole process, and that's your mindset.
Mindset.
Yeah, like your attitude and how you approach this whole financial aid journey, it can really make a difference in your success.
That makes sense. But it's easy to get discouraged when you're dealing with all these applications and deadlines. How do you stay positive and motivated when things get tough?
Well, first of all, remember that resilience is key.
Resilience.
Yeah, like bouncing back from setbacks. You're going to get rejected from some scholarships. That's just part of the process. But don't let those rejections define you or make you give up.
Okay, so don't take it personally.
Exactly. Just keep refining your applications, learn from your mistakes, and keep trying. Every no gets you closer to a yes.
That's a great way to look at it. What else can we do to stay positive?
Well, one thing that helps me is to focus on the why. Like, why is this education so important to you? What are your dreams and goals? Keeping that bigger picture in mind can help you stay motivated even when you're feeling overwhelmed by the details.
So it's about remembering why you're doing this in the first place.
Exactly. And don't forget to celebrate those small victories along the way. Did you finish a tough application? Treat yourself to something nice? Did you have a great interview? Call up a friend and celebrate.
Oh, I love that. Those little celebrations can make a big difference.
For sure. They remind you that you're making progress and moving towards your goal.
So to sum it all up, we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive. We've talked about decoding financial aid, avoiding pitfalls, finding scholarships, mastering applications, understanding loans, and even negotiating better offers.
We've talked about the importance of organization, building a support system, and taking care of yourself throughout the process.
It's been a whirlwind of information.
Yeah.
But hopefully our listeners are feeling more empowered and ready to tackle this whole financial aid thing head on.
I hope so. And remember, you don't have to do this alone. There are resources and people out there to help you every step of the way.
Absolutely. So if you're feeling lost or overwhelmed, reach out to your financial aid office, talk to your family and friends, and don't be afraid to ask for help.
And most importantly, believe in yourself. You are capable of achieving your educational dreams. And don't let finances stand in your way.
That's such an important message. Believe in yourself and keep those dreams alive. Well, that wraps up our deep dive into education funding. Thanks for joining us, and best of luck on your financial aid journey.
It was my pleasure. Best of luck to everyone out there.